Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. Today is, let's see, it's December 16th. Can you believe that? Oh, my gosh. We're just like a little over a week away from Christmas. Wow. This year has just completely flown by, and this is amazing. And winter came very quickly. I'm not thrilled about that at all, because you know how I feel about cold weather if you have been tuning in to these shows. It went from warm to cold very quickly here in Arkansas. Not happy. We have Suzanne here from Iowa. How's it there in Iowa, Suzanne?
Well, let me tell you this, thin-skinned Southern girl. I think tomorrow here, with the wind chill, the temperature is going to feel somewhere between minus 20 and minus 30.
Okay, I feel for you. I'm sorry. And because the wind's blowing here, and we have a wind chill here too, but I don't think it's going to be that low, but it's going to be low. I don't like this.
I know.
How about we go off to Mexico or something? You want to do that?
Let's do Hawaii.
Hawaii. Oh, I love. Yeah, let's do Hawaii. That's even better. Yes, let's do that. Okay. Yes. I mean, someplace warm. We just, someplace warm. Sedona, anything. I mean, someplace warm.
Okay. Better than here.
Mm-hmm. No arguments. Okay. Yeah. Anybody wants to join us? Hey, we'll take a party. We'll go. So always, one of my favorite topics for the show is QHHT sessions. And that's what we're doing tonight. Oh goodness. I didn't bring the book that has the call-in number, but let's see here. I think I have it on another page. Let's see here. If you have a question, or if you want to call in with a question or anything for Suzanne or a guest or anything with the show tonight, make it particular, you know, something pertinent to the topic that's being discussed tonight. The call-in number is 1-888-627-6008. That's 1-888-627-6008. And what we're doing tonight is Suzanne has one of her clients, Todd, on with her or with us. So excited because this is always very special when a client is willing to do something like this, because sessions are very... they're very personal, private, and they're very, if you've not had one, even if you've had one, I mean, you know how this is, but if you've not had one, you need to understand what happens in a session. I mean, these are transformative things, and so many things are moving and shifting and happening and taking place. And so, For a client to be willing to do something like this and put himself out there and talk about it is really special, and we're really honored to have you with us, Todd. And so first, we have Suzanne Spooner with us. We're always honored to have you, Suzanne.
Oh, and thanks, Julia.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we have your client. So if you want to introduce your client, I mean, if you want to say more about him, anyway, then
sure.
I'm going to turn it over to the two of you. If you want to share how this all happened or anything, but that's what I wanted to say is like, because these sessions are so wonderful and how they work and in the process and the progress of what happens. So that's what tonight's show is about and what you want to share with how this all works. So
sure. I'm happy to. Thank you, Julia, very much for that introduction. And yeah, so about a month ago, coincidentally not, on 11-11, November 11th at 11 a.m., I mean, how much more can you ramp it up? I had a session with our guest, Todd. Hello, Todd. How are you?
I'm fine. Pleasure to be here.
And, he and I had been emailing back and forth a little bit before our session. He was flying in from out of state. So we were getting everything prepared for him to be here. And, what I didn't know which is kind of funny. I'm sure this happens to some clients. They get a little cold feet right before their session because they don't quite know what's about to happen to them. So what I did find out from Todd was that he about ditched me right before the session. But as he can explain, he had some interesting signs that helped him stay on track and get to me. Do you want to share a little bit about that, Todd?
Sure. You know, there were a lot of things that were pushing me to have this session. I found some of Dolores's information on the internet and I was intrigued. But even with everything pushing me, I was still kind of hesitant once I figured out, you know, the cost of the flight and the hotel and everything it was going to take to get out there. And even though my session was booked for 11:11 at 11, on my end, it was really a coincidence because I booked based on my work schedule, not really on a calendar. So the day came when I had to confirm my reservations and I'm sitting at my desk at work and I'm not sure whether I want to do it or not. So I sat there for a minute and I set an intention that I needed some sort of sign whether this was going to be beneficial for me or not. And I opened up my eyes and I looked at the calendar on the wall and I realized my session was Friday, 11:11 at 11. And I chuckled because I hadn't really paid much attention to that before. It was all about the timing on my schedule. And then I looked down at the clock on my computer and it said 11:11 a.m. And I started laughing and I was like, yeah, that'll do it. So I went ahead and booked everything and I'm really glad I did. Yeah.
Well, and Julia, if I can, I haven't shared this with you before, but you and Todd have some similarities in your family.
Oh, we do.
Yeah. It's, tell her about that, Todd.
Well, you know, my father had a hypnosis practice back in the 70s somewhere, I think 73, 74, I don't know, around there somewhere. And I remember him having clients to stop smoking and to lose weight and that sort of thing. And, you know, I was young, so I didn't pay much attention to it, but I spent a lot of time in the office. And, you know, I used to watch these people come in and they would come in and for varying sessions. And they transformed before my eyes. And, you know, I had really forgotten about that until I started watching some of the Dolores Cannon videos and some of the information there. And I didn't question the method because I know that it works.
How funny. So, see, that's just it. You don't, everything leads up to a point and you don't realize what's happening. You know, until later, and you start going back and going, oh my gosh, all these different things were happening to bring me to now.
That's exactly where I'm at right now. I'm looking backwards and I'm looking at everything and I'm like, wow, this is, it's really fascinating.
It is. Well, you know, and here is the super fun part about Todd and we'll get into his session and what occurred, which was quite spectacular and fun. But, you know, as a practitioner, we know when a client books an appointment and they're here and, you know, you start that session. I mean, we know how the potential is for this group of hours, this one day to be transformative, to be an awakening process, to be mind and heart expanding. I mean, unlike any other experience they've ever had in their life. I tell people, you know, this will be something that you remember for the rest of your life, no matter how you decide to use it. But, you know, every session is so unique and amazing and special all in their own ways. And there's just so many ahas and epiphanies and healing and understanding and their eyes as they come out of the hypnosis at the end usually are these big deer eyes and headlights, like holy mackerel. I can't believe that all just happened. And they get all these questions answered. They get this healing done all by themselves. They're doing all the work. They're giving themselves the answers. They're doing their own healing. You know, we as practitioners are just the lucky people that get to guide them through these amazing journeys. And so, you know, at the end of the session, they're going to have a recording that their practitioner is going to get to them in one form or another. And for the most part, we don't know what happens afterwards. You know, Dolores was very staunch in her belief that, you know, what the client chooses to do with what just happened is up to them now. And, you know, we're not supposed to stay, prodding them or reminding them to listen to the recording or anything like that. It's up to them. But, every once in a while, these sessions occur and there's a great friendship that's formed right off the bat. And you stay in contact and you get to hear, you know, what they're doing with their session information and how it's changing them and affecting them. And that's been this experience with Todd. So that's what I really want to talk about is all this opportunity that what a great example he's been of how to use a QHHT session for its highest good. But getting back to the session, the thing that was very unique about the session that I ended up putting out on a YouTube clip and a blog post with his permission, after we both had to kind of sit on this a little bit and think of it, because it was, you know, a little bit of dicey information, you know, for a lot of people to take in and absorb at the time. It was right after the U.S. presidential election, which, you know, really, I think, you know, it's an understatement to say it surprised a lot of people. And when Todd came into his session with me, we just, you know, as we're just exchanging, you know, greetings and, you know, settling into the session, you know, we both just barely tapped in on that election because it was 11-11. It was right after, was it November 8th, the election?
Yep.
And if I had to have guessed at that point from what he said, I would have said he was fairly neutral, you know, maybe leaning towards Hillary, you know, and it doesn't matter to me. I don't care. And then we got on to the rest of the session. So when we're in a session, he has these amazing past life experiences, which we've never gotten to touch base on yet publicly. But as I've gotten to his subconscious, the high self part, he first started talking about this light chamber, and he was literally experiencing this light chamber. And I wish I could videotape it, because I wish I would have videotaped that one just to show him what his face looked like, because he looked like a little boy grinning ear to ear, having the best experience ever. you can hear me on this YouTube clip. I'm just giggling because I'm just watching him just have so much fun with whatever this light chamber is. And I want to sign up for it. You know, it's like, this looks great.
Do you remember what that looked like, Todd?
Yes, actually, I sent a drawing. You know, I'm not an artist or anything, but I sent my best rendition because higher self made it a point for me to be able to remember it when Suzanne asked if I'd be able to have that in my meditations later. So I drew what I saw, and it was really weird because it was like I was being taken to it, and it just sort of appeared out of a fog, and it was lit up, and I said, oh, I see a light chamber. Oh, am I going in that? And they plugged me in like putting a light bulb in a socket, and it was it was magical, and I can kind of feel what was going on my face, but you know, I wasn't really there. It was amazing. I have to say it was amazing.
So what did it look? I mean, can you describe? I mean,
it looked like the top of an acorn, but the top of the acorn was black. And then it looked like a larva cocoon type thing that was glowing yellow. And my consciousness, not my body, of course, but my consciousness went right inside that little cocoon thing. And it plugged me into the acorn looking part. And I could feel energy just coursing through me. And my consciousness was being pulled up above my head. And you know, I don't talk in chakras or anything like that in real life. But, it says it right there. I'm being pulled into my crown chakra. And I had no idea, but now I know what that's like because I'm living in it now.
Yeah. Well, you see, and that is just one of the things. Oh my God. I love 1 million and one things about QHHT, but one of the things I love is, like, in your wildest dreams, Todd, before you came into the session, would you ever imagine of having that experience?
Absolutely not. You know, I look at a lot of things on the internet and I peruse a lot of things. And I think I've seen something where people talk about light chambers, but I dismissed it. I was like, what is this, some kind of Star Trek thing? You walk in it like a transporter, or, you know, it never in a million years would I have assumed that they were real. And actually in the session, it says, I didn't believe they were real, but I do now. And that's very true, because I never thought there was anything like a light chamber. I thought that was just somebody's idea in someone's head. I never knew.
Yeah, it's like, where do you think these things come from?
Well, I'm here to tell you, you know, it's a real thing.
Well, and what I noticed, like, from the sessions that I've had is, like, when they show you things like this, is then, and you experience it like that, then you're able to go back to it anytime you want. So do you feel like that is your experience?
Absolutely. There's been a couple of times where I felt like something is pushing on me and trying to push me back out of the space that I'm in now since the session. And it takes a lot of effort. And I get into meditations and I try to get in touch with my counsel that will, I guess we'll get into talking about that here in a little bit. And I see the light chamber and I feel it. And at some point, you know, when I'm sitting down, it plugs me in again. And when I come out of it, nothing is in the chair except my butt. I mean, the rest of me is just like electrified. And then I'm like, oh, okay, I can relax now. And so, yes, I can find it again, which is a good thing.
Now, I'm going to jump one. I'm probably jumping ahead. And I apologize if I am.
No, go ahead.
Because as you know, and probably a lot of people, the biggest reason that we do this, I mean, when we do this is we want to know, okay, from the higher self and everything, is why are you showing this? You know, what's the point and what are you trying to do here? So did it bring it, why was it showing this to you? Did it tell you that? What was this all about?
I'm being prepared for something. My energy level's been raised above the point of interference, is what it said in the session. Mm-hmm. And it was really cagey about the information because it wants me to follow the path. And when Suzanne tried to press, the answer was, it'll all fall into place. And then in the closing remarks, when she asked for closing remarks from the higher self, it was very clear, stay on the path, trust your intuition, and let it all happen. So I don't exactly know what it is I'm supposed to be doing, but it's starting to come to me. And I don't know. I'll keep you posted.
That's so cool. And that must be, that's where now you're plugged in. So you can then.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I mean, there's a lot of ideas that are floating around. Before the session, I was on a completely different path. I was doing something completely different that's unrelated to anything we're talking about. And now I'm thinking in terms of how can I help finish off the ascension of Earth so that we can all move on and stop what we're doing and do something different.
Oh, wow. My whole body's buzzing. Oh, wow. That's what I love about QHHT. And that's what I know you've seen, Suzanne. This is what I love about these sessions, is when people's lives change, it's taking them from here. And it's like, it's like, okay, see, you're over here. We need you over here. It's like, we've got to show you this. We've got to change.
Well, yeah. And it's, you can't deny it. You know, I tell people, and it's so cliche, you know, the you that walks into this office is not the you that's walking out. You know, Todd takes that to another level, mm-hmm. you know, only because I know he's, you know, stayed on pursuing his awareness. But it is, it's, you know, and I think, you know, I don't know how much Todd wants to share with us, but what he was showing is that he's had many lives preparing him for what he's here to do. And, you know, there's so many that are here on the planet right now to assist during this great shift of ascension. But, you know, he just had some really interesting information that helped kind of, I don't know, Todd, you can describe it better, but maybe more globally let you understand how you've been prepared for this.
Do we want to segue into that to talk about my past lives? That's fine. If we want to go there, we can do that.
As much as you want to share, just whatever you want to share.
Well, so the first life that it showed me, I was a warrior on a horse watching a battle. It wasn't a very nice battle. It was more of a slaughter. And I'm really young. And I totally believe in what I'm doing. I'm fighting for the cause and nothing else matters. Okay, then Suzanne took me forward and I was in another battle. And it clearly says I'm older now and I'm understanding that it's pointless. The war is pointless. It's not solving anything. I'm not accomplishing anything. And the killing and so not only am I just being shown my life, I'm being shown how I'm maturing and adapting and understanding. So it's not like watching a sci-fi movie where, you know, this happens and in the end, blah blah. There's actual emotional content that's coming through, and there's learning that's coming through, which is really important. And it takes me from that part into this big area where there's marble and everything, and I'm watching the politicians argue. And at first, I'm confused. I think I'm on some kind of little temporally distorting device that has me here. Apparently, time traveling. I had to look up what that meant. So I was time traveling or something on this device. And they're arguing, and Suzanne's asking me, you know, trying to get more answers. And there's some political stuff, and it's pointless. They're like ants trying to decide what to do. So again, higher self is providing a perspective of the soul on its journey that I started out young. I believed everything I did. I got older. I saw that the wars were pointless. And now I'm watching after my death, what they're trying to do politically. And I'm seeing that it's pointless, that what they're doing really has no consequence because, you know, 2000 years later, I'm back and we're still doing the same thing. So, then she took me to my death and I know that I had something wrong with my left eye. My peripheral vision wasn't very good. And I know that there were very few people that knew that. And the assassin came from my left side where I couldn't see him very well. By the time I saw him, he was already stabbing me in the chest with the dagger. And that's how I died. So when she asked who I was, I was told I was Marcus Vipsanius Agrippa, and I looked that guy up, and you know, the funny thing is, through my whole life, ever since I was a little kid, I've had these visions of marble and pillars and beautiful gardens and this feeling of happiness that comes along with that, and I was telling my wife a couple of years ago, I'm like, you know, I don't know about these visions, but I must have been some kind of rock star because this is a strong bleed over into this life that I'm still remembering whatever this was. Well, uh-huh. I find out now that I was this Marcus Agrippa guy, and the person that killed me was Augustus. If you look up in the history, you'll find that they say that I died of some illness, I don't know, pneumonia, whatever it is they say that I died of. But the reality was I was watching the political scene there, and they decided that they would tell everybody that I died of pneumonia because my people were really, really loyal, and they would have revolted and they would have overthrown Augustus, and he wouldn't have been the first emperor of Rome, and perhaps Rome would have stayed a meritocracy, and who knows what would have happened when Jesus came along if Rome didn't do what it did to him, right? I mean, we could have changed the course of history, perhaps. I don't. But anyway, when I was murdered, I left the planet. I was disgusted, and I didn't come back. Well, do we want to go into that other one, too?
Sure.
Okay. So, she takes me to what happens after you're dead, or I forget how she asked the question, but I'm like, I see this huge building made out of shimmering gold and pastel colors, and I walk inside, and she goes, "What are you doing there?" And my answer was, "It's where you go when you're dead." So, matter of fact, it's where you go when you're dead. And there were these two guys that helped me, two energy beings. They weren't guy; they were just energy. They weren't, you know, nondescript. And I walk inside, and it's for healing. And there were these rings that increased my aura, and it was basically putting me back together. And apparently when I came out the other side of that, I had agreed to a contract with some other entities. I don't know who they were, but I went off to fight their battles for them. I guess I was, you know, upset about what happened, and I was going to go save some other planet. I don't know, because I couldn't save this one, or I don't know. But anyway, I was being put in engineered bodies over and over again, my consciousness, to fight these bug things on this planet or this solar system or galaxy, wherever I was. I don't know where I was. But they were some pretty gruesome monsters, and I had a gun, and I was killing them. And again, higher self comes through. And at the very beginning, I'm standing in the hall where I'm in this engineered blue body thing, and it asks, and I'm gung-ho. I'm like, yeah, they're ugly. I want to kill them. And you could see that it's like me being young again in the Roman times. Yeah, so that's how it starts out. And then as we progress through the different scenes, I'm like, I don't want to be used like this. And why do I have to kill anymore? And I don't want to kill. And she asks, can you leave? No, there's a contract. It's like a discharge. When you get out of the military, you can do whatever you want. But until then, you have to fulfill your contract. So a point came where I was, I guess we won the war. And we killed all those bugs, whatever they were. And I was allowed to leave. And I came back here to this life. So I was Marcus Agrippa. I left the planet. I fought for this other race or entities or whoever they were. I helped them win their war. Or I was, you know, just another guy helping them win their war. And then when I got done with that, I came here. And when I was asked why I came here to have fun. And it said, at some point, again, he fights a war, and again, he has won. So ultimately, we're liberating the planet, all of us that are here, not just me individually. I mean, what am I doing? You know, I'm just sitting here at a desk talking to you guys on the phone, but ultimately, the people that are here, all of us as Earth consciousness, we are here to raise the vibration of this planet and end this darkness that we find ourselves in so that we can move on to what's next. And I'll tell you right now, what's next is wonderful and everybody should be looking for.
Did I cut you off, Suzanne?
No, not at all.
Okay. I was going to say, were you shown that as well? What's next?
Yes. There was a point where I had a question that I wanted asked. I was at a stoplight in my car, and
this is in real life.
Yeah, this is in real life. I was sitting at a traffic light, and all of a sudden, I felt as if I'd gotten lighter, and everything was brighter, and it was shimmering with gold sparkles. And I'm looking up in the sky, and there's gold sparkles, and my car is kind of gold and sparkly. And I'm filled with this all-encompassing sense of happiness and joy, and it felt so different. And I was trying to hold it as long as I could because it was so wonderful. And then, you know, the light changes and traffic starts to move, and you have to concentrate on, you know, driving and being aware of what's going on. And I lost the feeling. And that stuck with me because I hadn't felt that before here in this lifetime, and I wanted to know what it was. So when my higher self was asked that question, the answer was that I had slipped into the fifth density momentarily, and that this is what is being brought to the planet. So for everybody that's listening to this show tonight, or that will ever listen to this show, if you feel anything like that, You need to you need to concentrate really hard on it. And that's what higher self said, that we all need to concentrate on that feeling, because that's what we're bringing in. And the more people that concentrate on it and try and hold it, the faster it's going to get here.
Yeah, because it's right there. It's right here.
We're right on the corner of it.
It's just bringing our awareness to it, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, life is consciousness, right? And it's all intent. So if you're focusing on what you want, that's the intention you're putting out to the universe, and that's what's going to be given to you. So if we have a billion people on the planet that are focusing on the fifth density and the happy, joy feelings, they're going to come a lot sooner.
Where have we heard that before, Suzanne?
one place or another. I don't know.
Oh, thank you, Todd. Thank you. You put that so beautifully. Yes. That is it.
And Todd, talk a little bit, if you would, about, you know, what your personal feelings have been since your session, as far as like when you're meditating or, you know, when you're out in nature. I mean, because that's taken a bit of a change or shift for you as well, hasn't it?
Well, it certainly has. I mean, from the minute, well, you know, during the session, I was put in the light chamber twice. And the second time was kind of like, oh, you want to go in the light chamber again? As a result of a question that I had that Suzanne asked for me. And the result was, you want to go in the light chamber again? Well, as a result of being in there twice, my perspective on everything has changed from that moment forward. And, you know, it used to be, yeah, I'll meditate when I get a chance. I don't really have time to do that right now. Yeah, I'll work on writing something for the Ascension, or work in my journal, or, you know, remember a dream later, because I'm really busy with life. Well, now it's the other way around. It's like I'm going to meditate. And if I have time to do, you know, yard work, or if I have time to vacuum the floor, I'll do it then. But meditation comes first. So there's been a shift in focus. And there's been a few times when I've meditated and, you know, I've spent 30 minutes or more in it, when I really get into the zone and I'm thinking of the light chamber and everything, that, and I'm in the sun, you know, as the sun's going down right before it goes over the horizon, that's like the best time right there. Or when it's just coming up, that's the best time. That's where the energy is coming from the sun the best. I can feel it. And after I'm done with that, I open my eyes and it's almost like I could just reach out with my hands and pull the fabric of reality apart and see behind it. I mean, it's that powerful. It's that powerful that, you know, you're like, you can't really do that. Well, I think you might be able to, if you keep working on it. You don't know what's going to happen, because we've never really been in this kind of energy before. So
actually, when you said that, and then you made that comment right after that, when you said you can, it's like you can pull the fabric of reality apart. And I had such a visual with you saying that, now if I can put it into words of what it was, and then you made that comment right afterwards, like maybe it wasn't real, because that's exactly what it showed me, was that none of what we see is real. So
it's a grand illusion.
Exactly.
Well, you know, when you take it right back down to the basic components of existence, we're looking at photons of light that are arranged in such a fashion that it feels like we're in a physical reality. And that's, it's hard to consider, because we're so engrossed in it and we're so enmeshed with the physical act of actually living in a body. But after you've had a QHHT session and you've seen, and, you know, I can only speak from my experience, but I saw these things happening as if I was right there. I mean, it wasn't a dream. It wasn't, I was there. You know, when she says, go into a body, and I'm the guy on the horse, I'm the guy on the horse. You know,
you
when
feel
she's,
the emotions, don't you?
Oh, well, that's what makes it real. You know, that's the part you can't fake. You know, when I saw myself get murdered, I could feel the tears running down my the side of my face, and they were pooling in my ears. And you know how annoying that is? And I could just feel it, and they're puddling up in my ears, and I'm really sad, and I can't stop crying, but I can't move because I'm locked up and I'm not really there. And then suddenly I hear, you can't feel it anymore. And it was all gone, and I didn't feel it anymore. But the emotional impact, and even since the session, you know, reading some of the things that I've read about Marcus and some of the other things, I try to explain it to my wife, and I break down and I'm sobbing for 5 or 10 minutes. I just can't stop. And she's watching me, and she's never seen me do anything like this before. And she, you know, she's a very literal person. And for her to see that in me, she knows that this is not a joke, that this is real, and this is really happening, and that I'm experiencing the lifetime and the sadness of this person. And yeah, it's real.
Well, another thing, it's like, yeah, you have the emotions, and you also know, you think, I mean, you have the thoughts of the person, you know things, and you're like, how do I know?
Exactly. Oh, you know, well, I've had dreams since the session, and I have these visions that wash through, and I'm walking around in this beautiful marble building, and I see the tables of the lavish parties that I'm throwing, and I, you know, not so much the battles, because I don't really want to think about that too much, because that's probably a part of me that I don't feel too proud about. No. You know, most guys would think that's great, but I don't think that's great. I think that's the part that I had to get through before I got to be a better person, you know. But yeah, they I see the visions. I see where I used to live. I see some of the people. I mean, I saw my wife from that time. I was sitting right next to her on a marble table, and we're talking about our new son. It was a wonderful feeling that I want to keep inside, you know, as opposed to the sadness of being murdered, right? But yeah, it's real. You see it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's one of the other amazing benefits of these sessions is, you know, when they visit these other times and places, it, to a great degree, it's like opening up a creaky door where they have access to all of a sudden. And it's very common, I think, for people to get new, or not new, but more memories from that life or that time. Or, you know, they'll get epiphanies or a deja vu, or, you know, and it's like, oh yeah, yeah, that's what that is. And, you know, and I think, you know, I thought of this a lot, Julia, is you, remember when your mom would be in class and people would ask, you know, why can't we remember our past lives? And she said, you know, well, it's because you have to focus on this one that you're here now. And if you remembered all your past lives, you know, you really, you know, you'd be scattered. But mm-hmm. I think we really are reaching this very interesting new tipping point. We're seeing it in sessions where clients feel somewhat aware during the sessions, but yet they're able to access this incredibly deep and profound information and healing.
Absolutely.
So I think, so that's what I love hearing, you know, that, you know, he has memory of, you know, more memories coming from these lives, and you know, it just, it's really important, I think, because I think our high self, our subconscious is giving us back, so to speak, those memories that specifically are helping us get through this time.
Right. There's a reason that, I mean, there's a reason it brings that life forward, you know, why it's showing you that life, and with the full knowledge that this life that we're focused on, I mean, the life that you're living now is the one that's most important, because that's the one that we're focused on. Because as we know, I mean, as we know now, all these lives are occurring at the same time. They're occurring. I mean, this is something our minds can now conceive, where before we couldn't conceive of them. That's why I think she said that, you know, is that we couldn't, we wouldn't be able to know all of them or be able to see them. We have minds that can understand better, anyway, the concept of simultaneous lifetimes.
So Right. And that's, you know, that's the excitement of where we're at right now. I mean, in the moment, it feels really chaotic and weird. And, you know, the world just seems extra super duper crazy right now. But really, when you step back, we're making leaps in evolution with our human consciousness. And oh my gosh, you know, it's astounding what we're doing. And, you know, it's fun to hear Todd talk about, you know, I'll share this. It was really funny. A couple of times since his session, staying in touch with him and knowing, you know, that he's doing a lot of work to expand on what he received in that session, I'll be in a session in an interview with a client and I'll be like, what are you doing here, Todd? You know, because I can feel his energy in my office, you know, and I'm looking at my client and I'm like, Todd, I've got to focus on this one now, you know, but it's like, I know it's an experiment, you know, and I'm like, well, that's kind of fun. You know, I've done that with other friends before too, you know, like all of a sudden they're like right there, you know, in energy, you know? And so, you know, I'll text him, I'll go say, hey, you know, what were you doing about this time? Oh, I was meditating. Okay.
Because
I'm not doing it on purpose. I'm just there. I'm not doing it on purpose.
I know.
By locating.
Yeah, but you know, how fun is that to even, you know, just to entertain, you know, it's not hard to do. You just have to get your head out of the way.
Right.
And I think that's where we're at.
Absolutely. I'd like to kind of come off of that a little bit. It's like what you were saying. And I know it's very odd, or rare. Now Todd ended up being a notable figure. His life went back to a notable figure. That's very uncommon. And you've done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of sessions, right, Suzanne?
Yep.
And how many of you had go back to a notable figure?
Not a lot.
Right. And so that's not the emphasis here. The emphasis really is what it means to his life now.
Right.
What was it trying to show him? And that's really what, you know, what it brings forward. That's what every session brings forward. What was it trying to show? And that's what he's still processing, I'm sure, because the session really wasn't that long ago, you know, and I bet you're still going through a ton of processing, aren't you, Todd?
Well, I am. And I want to share this, you know, when I turned 49 or 50, I started having these pains in my chest and they were concerning because, you know, it's about the age that if you're going to have some kind of issues with your heart, that they're going to start to pop up, you know? So I went and I had all kinds of tests done. I even had the radioactive isotope during the stress test. I had the whole thing done because it was really disconcerting. It went through from one side to the other side. And I was like, you know, it feels like I'm dying. And there's nothing wrong with it. Healthy as a horse. And clean bill of health, go away. Well, in the session, when I saw myself get murdered, I watched the knife go exactly where my pain is. And it's clear to me now where the pain's coming from. It's coming from the fact that that's unresolved. And I was shown that because I need to understand what really happened. And I need to process that and get over it, because it was a really long time ago. And Suzanne knows that I was reluctant to have this conversation in any kind of, you know, public format to tell people who I was, because I really don't see that as being important. You know, yeah, the guy was back there. He did a lot of great things, but it's really unrelated to me with any regard other than some of the things that happened. Like, I've gone through my life and I haven't kept very many. And I purposely done that, and I never really understood why. And that came through in the session. You know, I haven't been doing it because of what happened last time. I had a really good friend who murdered me. So, you know, I think irregardless of who the person was and whether, you know, history remembers them or not, there's lessons there that I needed to encompass and move forward beyond so that I can ascend with everybody else and get out of this and not have any kind of baggage holding me back. So that's where I see the benefit. not in knowing that I was some guy that did cool things. You know, just kind of cool too, but irrelevant.
Yeah, it's take the lessons from it and pull from there and learn everything you can from it and bring it forward. And like you said, get your closure, do everything from it.
Exactly.
That's what it's all about.
So I'd like to touch a little bit on, you were talking about everything happening at once. And, you know, some information came through from my higher self about that. And I'd like to give my perspective on that if you guys are willing to listen. So it turns out that I'm either a sixth or seventh density fragment of an entity from a planet in Alpha Centauri.
Okay.
And I'm currently existing in 27 different bodies at the moment, according to higher self. And of course, you know, my highest fragment is on a council in some planet in Alpha Centauri. And
everybody, I did not know this. Okay.
Yeah.
So I didn't know this when I said all that stuff a while ago. So thank you. So you were,
That's information that came through in a session too. So
that's right.
And I didn't mean to cut you off, but I wanted to preface that. I didn't know any of this when I was saying all that a while ago. So anyway, so carry on. This is so cool.
Okay, so Suzanne asked the question too about everything happening all at once, and higher self kind of had a hard time explaining it until it started talking about my twin flame, and that's something I don't want to get into right now. But in any case, so I exist in 27 different places right now, and it's all that my higher self can hold at one time. So my higher self is residing on this council up in Alpha, some planet in Alpha Centauri, and I'm in 27 different bodies. All of those 27 are happening at once. And I don't know if that's different times or different planets or different galaxy. I don't know that stuff. But
I have an
idea. when a fragment commits to an incarnation, like I'm in one right now, mm-hmm. you have to finish it. So this one fragment of me, this one of 27, is in this incarnation. I'm not anywhere else right now. I'm not walking down the street and deciding to go left or right, and half of me goes left and half of me goes right. And I do that a gazillion times a day because every decision can be a turning point. And it, you know, you've read some of this stuff, right? That's not what I got. I mean, everyone is welcome to their own opinion, but I'm just telling you what I was shown, or we were shown in the session. Everyone else can either accept or reject it, and that's fine with me. But I can't be anywhere else than this incarnation right now. The other 26 of me are doing whatever they're doing. They've got to finish doing whatever they're doing before anything else. So there's some perspective.
Yeah, and then the other one, each of you have some kind of an impact on each other, right?
You know, I wonder about that sometimes, because when Suzanne asked, what about another aspect of you? I saw like this squid looking thing, and I didn't want to see that. I was laughing and I was like, I don't want to see that. I don't want to be a squid. That's stupid. And then it showed me my higher soul fragment up on the council, and I was like, oh yeah, I want to see that one, because that's cool. But whether we share information with each other during an incarnation, maybe on the astral when we're sleeping, I don't know. I mean, I don't walk down the street and go, ah, I'm a squid. You know, I don't ever do that. So I don't know that I'm in contact with my squid self or anything. But I do know that when you finish an incarnation, you go back to your, my other 27, 26, we'll go back. We give our information back. And we give it back to the council, where they collect the information from me and this incarnation on Earth. And then I go out and do something again. I guess it's decided for me, or I make a decision, or I make a dumb decision and go fight somebody's bug war or something. But yeah, that was not a good decision. But I don't know if we share it between each other while we're in incarnations. That doesn't. Well, I do know that my twin flame and I are like hanging out on the astral in our dreamscape. That was revealed to me. But,
well, I was meaning as far as like it has an effect on you. Like, see, the life that it was you were shown has it was shown because it's having an effect on this life that you were shown because it's having.
I understand. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So affecting this life. So.
Well, there's a lot of Marcus in me that I never really understood the reason why I am the way I am and the things that I have done in this lifetime, but it sure does make a lot of sense now. So yeah, there's a lot of that. I do understand the question now, and the answer to that is most definitely. Yeah.
So that makes me wonder. See, sometimes I wonder about this. Have you ever read the Seth books that were?
I have not. I've heard of them, but I haven't read them.
Well, this is where I keep wondering, and I'm just putting it out there. I don't know. This is where when I finished the last book I read back in I think it was the 70s, because they were so deep and complex to me at that point. I could only read a little bit and I'd have to set it down and digest a little bit and digest. Cause there was so deep. I picked one up about 10 years ago and I was surprised at how much easier it was to read. I was like, wow. So it was just showing the progression of, I guess, the mind. But anyway, the last visual I remember, the last thing I remember reading that where I had to stop because I just couldn't go any further. And he was talking about a multi-level game board. Where it was transparent, and you know you could see through the different levels of this board, and each level being a different life, okay, and so you could see the different lives from each other. You know, you could see them, and you know, on each one you could see the different levels, but each life affected, like moves on the different levels affected the others, and every time. I think about the simultaneous. This is like his beginning. See, this is back in the 70s. He's talking about simultaneous lives. But can you imagine? See, we didn't have the concepts. Our minds couldn't. We didn't have the concepts in our minds at that point to be able to grasp this stuff. And he's talking about this, and I'm just like, But that was the last visual I remember having. But whenever I talk about this or I see this now, that's, I'm always reminded of that multidimensional game board that he talked about. And it makes me wonder if moves that were made that we make now by doing things with, when we see our other lives and now we make moves on this life, if we're now, you know, because we change our perspective here, we're now affecting the other life or vice versa or something. Because he was saying that we affect our lives, you know, these lives all affect each other.
That's an interesting concept. I'm sitting here visualizing the game board, and in my session, Higher Self said that my next life has already been planned. And I wonder if, you know, like there's a general outline, like you build, like you make a business plan overview. I'm going to create this business, but then the market conditions change a little bit. So you like have to, okay, well, you erase that part and you start putting in a new sentence here on your business plan. I wonder, that could very well be the case, right? That makes a lot of sense.
Well, you know, they always saying we can change our lives anytime. The future is never written in stone. So we can always change our lives, and that's always something we can do. I know we're really, this time has gone by fast. And Suzanne, I apologize. I said, here, I'm going to turn it over to you and you take over. And I just stepped right in and just, because this is fast. And I told you, I love this.
I told you, you'd love the show. It's awesome. I'm very happy to sit back and just listen. It's been great.
But I want, because I want to keep Todd somewhat anonymity here. But Suzanne, really quickly, can you tell people how they can find you if they would like to?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Julia. My website is just my name, Suzanne Spooner, QHHT.com.
You keep it simple.
I do. I try. You know, every once in a while I do that.
And Todd, in case we run out of time here really quickly, thank you so much. This has been fantastic. I really want to thank you for being this brave and coming out and sharing everything and your transformation and everything you've done. I mean, this is wonderful. Thank you again.
You're welcome. It's been a lot of fun. And if I've helped anybody, then it's all been worth it.
And so if there's anything, would you like to share any last words, thoughts, or anything because we're on our last minute here?
No, I'll let you guys finish it up. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, thank you. And Suzanne, would you like to, any last parting message? As we always ask this.
It's been, you know, it's been a wild year, and I just think everybody, you know, is here for a reason, and we just need to work out of our hearts and show compassion to ourselves and to others. And I think next year is just going to be a mind blower in the best of ways for all of us.
Beautiful. That's a beautiful message. Absolutely. I totally agree. And I want to echo that sentiment, and I want to thank everyone for being here with us. And we love you all. And I'm always, always so grateful for everyone being here with us. And good night, everyone. And thank you again, Suzanne and Todd, for being here.
Thank you, Julia.
Absolutely. Anyway, wish you all a wonderful week. And I won't be here next week, as we'll be celebrating Christmas. For those of you that celebrate, and probably be here the next week. So good night, everyone. Love you. And till next time.